Today's shiur will be beginning in Maseches Bava Basra at the bottom of Sadi Omid Beis. Before beginning the shiur, we highly recommend your printing out the Daf Gemara, the Daf containing the markings that you see on your screen. And even better, we recommend ordering your personal volume of the Shas Ozer Maseches Bava Basra. We open with this Gemara, three lines from the bottom of Tzadi Omid Beis. You notice immediately a section of text that's framed. The frame is open on the bottom. You don't see a solid line crossing the bottom of the page because the source that's contained in the frame continues to Tzadi Aleph Omid Aleph. We mentioned the term source. What we're referring to is in the marking system, Tanaic material, whether it be Mishnayos or Brisos, or those sources when restated as need be, we frame them off to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara text. In addition, we would like to note the topic heading that's found on the outside margin. In the marked Gemara edition, we attempt to feature, as new topics arise, topic headings called Nosei, and when necessary, we also feature another type of heading called Mivneh, which explains structural notes, primarily when geometric forms appear in the text. At this point, we'll begin by looking at the topic heading, the Nosei. The topic Ein Lahotzi Peros Me'eretz Yisrael Dovar Shiesh Bohen Chayei Nefesh. Produce that's produced in Eretz Yisrael that is of immediate need for the public, things that are staple products, basic products that the Gemara terms Chayei Nefesh, those are not to be exported from Eretz Yisrael. The thought being that that which is produced in Eretz Yisrael that is necessary for the community in Eretz Yisrael, they have primacy and precedence over communities outside. There will be a minor exception to this as we go on in the source. Ein motzien peros me'eretz Yisrael dvorim sheish ben chayei nefesh kegon. One is not allowed to send out of export from Eretz Yisrael things that are of a staple nature. Kagon, example, yenos, shmonim, nesiltois, wines, oils, and flour. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, matir b'yayin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is happy to allow wines to be sent out. Mipnei shememayit es hatifla. Wine is a source of drunkenness. And as such, the less wine available in the Eretz Yisrael community, there'd be less frivolity and lightheadedness that's associated with wine. Ukshem she'ein motziyim me'eretz lechutz l'aretz. Kach ein motziyim me'eretz Yisrael l'Suria. Just like there's a restriction of sending, of exporting staple items to the diaspora, there is also a restriction in sending the staple items to Syria. Syria is a region that is known as a kibush yochid. It's attached to Eretz Yisrael, but not having the same status as the basic Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam here refers to it as the kibush yochid lo shmei kibush. The source continues, V'Rebbe Matir. As far as Surya is concerned, Rebbe allows the export of produce, of staple items from Eretz Yisrael to Surya, provided it's Mehafarchia Lehafarchia. The Rashbam explains at the top, Mehafarchia Achroina Shel Eretz Yisrael, from a neighborhood or a community that's at the edge of Eretz Yisrael, Lehafarchia Rishona Shel Surya, to the first community that's immediately outside of Eretz Yisrael in Syria, the Kevan de Smuchin Kol Kach Mutar, since they're so close to one another, that's not considered a problem. Tanu Rabbanan. We're about to start a new Tanaic source. Before we do that, let us glance at the topic heading, the outside margin, the Nosei. Dinei Mechira Hanogea, rules, laws of sales, as they regard Hanogea Le, one, Dvorim Shiesh Bohem Mishum Chayei Nefesh, rules of sales regarding staple items, and number two, regarding beitzim, eggs. The source, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Mistakrim Be'eretz Yisrael, B'dvorim Sheish Bohen Chayei Nefesh, Kegoin Yeinos Shmonim V'Siltois. The expression Ein Mistakrim means one is not allowed to profit, but we must explain and clarify that. The halacha, as explained by the Rashbam, is that when you're dealing with items like this, the wines, oils, and flowers, the producer himself is the one that's expected to sell to the community, and not to have a chain of distribution associated with it. This we can see in the Rashbam, the second line from the top, Ein mistakrin liknois, Yayin v'shemen v'siltos mibalabayas limkar bashuk, namely that the producer should not distribute it to the marketplace, the retailers, and the retailers, they having contact with the public, elabalabayas atzmoi yimkar latzrichin. Rather, the producer himself should sell these things direct to the public. Kamo shimkar lechenvoni. Umihu, liknois chitin velatzos pas muter. However, if it's a question of buying grains and making them into bread, that is allowed. Namely, the grain producer doesn't have to sell the grains directly to the public, but rather can sell it to a company that bakes it into baked goods. The kevadika tircha, sorry, since there's a lot of hassle that's associated with it, and trouble and burden, so we allow it. Avo limkor ha-dover be'ein, kemo shekoyna iso mi balabayas, osur, to balabayas nami motzi mazvin le below torach. However, when you're dealing with unprocessed items, we don't want to have these staple items being part of a chain of distribution. Continuing in the source. Omru alav al Reb Elozer ben Azariah shoya mistaker b'yayin v'shemen. It was said regarding Reb Elozer ben Azariah that he didn't sell directly to the public, but he sold to distributors. The Gemara now explains what was he thinking about, what was his consideration. B'yayin sovar lo ke Rebbe Yehuda. We saw on the previous Omid, the bottom of the previous Omid, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said that as far as wine is concerned, he would be happy that there'd be less of it around. And here Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah is along the same lines, saying, halavai, it should be expensive. In other words, by having more distributors in the chain of distribution, everyone adds a little profit for himself. And when it finally gets to the public, those who will be drinking it, it will be quite a bit more expensive. And they'll be, of course, not so interested in buying as a result. B'shemen, as far as oil is concerned, how is it that Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah allowed it to be sold through distributors? B'asrei to Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah shchiach mishcha. In his community, oil was very common. It was apparently very inexpensive, and hence, even if there were added hands in the chain of distribution, it wouldn't have had a negative effect on the public. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein mistakrin pa'amayim bebeitzim. This needs to be explained. Literally, it's one doesn't profit double with regard to eggs. Omar Mori Bar Mori. Pliki bo Rav Ushmuel. The Rav and Shmuel disagree with regard to explanation of the source we just read. Chad Omar al Chad Trey. In other words, there cannot be double profit. In other words, what that which one bought, let us say, for one dinar, if one bought eggs for one dinar, and he's going to turn it over to sell to the public, he cannot turn it over and charge two dinar. V'chad omar, tagar letagra. The second opinion is that one is not allowed to have several parties in a chain of distribution when it comes to the sale of eggs. The Rashbam explains, Tagor letagro, letagor rishon yimkor latzrichen. The first merchant, he is the one that sells to the public. Avolo letagor achir. But he, the first merchant, is not allowed to sell the eggs to a second merchant who in turn will have contact with the public. The yesh kan revach shtei pelmim, letagor rishon, namely from the producer to the first merchant, uletagor sheni, and from the first merchant to the second merchant, umokiron yoyser midai. Avol, and of course that causes too much price increase. Avol bishar dvor muter. As far as other products, it's okay to have several hands in the chain of distribution. Shim yokir ze yimsa achirim shimkuru bezoil. As far as other products are concerned, if people find this fellow charging too much, being too expensive, they'll find others charging less. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Masriyin al Prakmatia, Shehuzla, Afilu b'Shabbos. The term Masriyin, the Rashbam explains, is in tefillah. In other words, one should start praying when the following situation arises. When prakmatia, there are several examples, but as far as the Rashbam is concerned, at this point he explains prakmatia meaning good quality clothing. When good quality clothing, expensive clothing, starts to drop in price, this is a bad sign for the market. And as a result of the drop in price, one is allowed to daven that the bottom shouldn't fall out of the market, even if it's a function of davening for it on Shabbos. Generally speaking, on Shabbos we don't engage in our prayers for personal requests. This is opposed to the daily davening, the daily prayers, where there is numerous requests that we offer. But on Shabbos, generally refrain from it. However, if something's of a very pressing nature, like this, a sudden drop in market rates, one is allowed to daven for it, to be restored, even on Shabbos. The Rashbam adds a very important note. The issue of expensive clothing losing value is not not something that affects the poor. In other words, expensive clothing have a certain market value, and ensuring that their market value is maintained is not something that affects the poor adversely, because they're not customers of this stuff anyway. However, as far as general society is concerned, many people profit from these things. And where the bottom falls out of the market, many people experience loss. Omer of Yochanan, he explains the prakmatia that one's allowed to daven for. Kagon, klei pishtan bebavel, linens in Bavel, v'yayin v'shemen be'eretz Yisrael. These are examples in Eretz Yisrael, wine and oil. If their prices start to drop, or the bottom falls out on their market, that too, one is allowed to daven for on Shabbos. Omar of Yosef, v'hu dezol, where it becomes the cheap as follows, where the rate is as follows. V'kom asora b'shisa, where you could buy 10 units for the price of 6. In other words, it's almost a 50% drop in value. We have a topic heading that accompanies this section on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, Ein Lotzeis Me'eretz Yisrael. The source tells us that one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. One who is a resident of Eretz Yisrael is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. U'maisa Elimelech U'mishpachto. And we're going to learn about the story concerning the family of Rus and her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had been married to a gentleman named Elimelech, and we will discover that Elimelech and his sons, Naomi, left Eretz Yisrael and the fate that befell them. The source begins, as you can see, it's a framed section indicating it's of Tanaic nature. Ein yoitzin me'oretz lechutzlaretz. Elohim kein, omdu sosayim besela. The Rashbam explains that one is forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael because that's tantamount to his being mafkia himself from relieving himself, from releasing himself from mitzvos. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is the primary location for mitzvah fulfillment. That's illustrated by the simple fact that there are many mitzvahs that one can practice only in Eretz Yisrael. All of the mitzvahs dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. All of the mitzvahs concerning tithes, trumas and maisras, where at a certain point in history they were d'oraisa, they were of a Torah nature. And according to many poskim, bizman hazeh, they might not be of a Torah nature, but certainly are of a rabbinic nature. And even within that, as we try to allude, there might be authorities that hold even bizman hazeh many aspects to be of a Torah nature. All of these cannot be fulfilled in Chutz Laretz. And in addition to that, there are meforshim that characterize mitzvah performance in Chutz Laretz in general as being something of a possibly preparatory nature or lesser nature than that which one experienced in Eretz Yisrael itself. Hence, if one is a resident of Eretz Yisrael, he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because of this reduced affiliation and fulfillment of mitzvahs. However, if prices became such, the example given here, omdu sosayim besela, two sa'ah of grain would cost a sela, and according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, that's an indication of price rise. Things became very expensive. If that happens, then the Tanakhama says one can leave Eretz Yisrael. Omer Rabbi Shimon Emosai, he comes and qualifies this. That is when bizman she'eno moitzei likach, when things are expensive and there's simply none available. There's very little available. Avol bizman she'moitzei likach, if the situation is as such that there is produce available, afilu omdo sa'ah besela, even if things became fantastically expensive, lo yeitzei. In other words, according to Reb Shimon, the allowance to leave Eretz Yisrael was because the produce was simply not to be had. But if it is available, it's just very expensive, then one is not allowed to leave. V'chein hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Eli melech machlon v'kilion gedoile hador hoyu uparnose hador hoyu. Eli melech, the husband of Naomi, featured in the Book of Ruth, and his sons Mahlon and Kilion, they were leaders of their generation. Umitnei ma nanshu, why is it that they suffered the terrible fate that they did? We know that they died in exile, if you will, Mipnei sheyotzu me'eretz l'chutz la'aretz. They left Eretz Yisrael. In a moment, the source will cite a pasuk, and the understanding of the pasuk and its citation will be explained by the Gemara afterwards. However, since we've encountered a geometric form before going any further, let us take note of it. This form is explained on the outside margin, the mivneh. It includes the expression umibnei ma nenshu, and it's a reference to the issue of why were they punished, Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion. And you notice in the space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam, a little space there to the immediate right of the Gemara text, there's a number one in the same geometric form, and there's also a note that says on Amud Beis there is a number two. That means that if you flip over, if you have a Shas Ozer volume in your possession, or if you're viewing this on the screen, you'll need to scroll over to the next Amud. Toward the top of Amud Beis, you'll notice number two, which will in effect be a second opinion as to why they were punished. So far, in this source, we saw an answer. Why were they punished? It's because they left Eretz Yisrael. And the source cites a pasuk, Shinemar, Vatohom kol ha'ir aleihem, Vatomarno hazos na'ami. My hazos na'ami says that the whole community, when Naomi came back from exile, from Moab, she came back to Eretz Yisrael, the public responded in wonderment and says, could this be the Naomi that we once knew? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Omru, they were really saying as follows. The expression Hazos is explained Chazisem, Hey and the Ches interchanging. Chazisem, Naomi, do you see her? She Yotzasa Me Oretz L'chutz L'oretz Ma Olsolo. Look what happened to her. She left Eretz Yisrael with her husband. She was a prominent woman when she left. And she came back in rags. The Omer of Yitzchak, Oisoi Hayoim Shebos Rus Hamoaviyah L'Eretz Yisrael. The day that Rus came with Naomi to Eretz Yisrael, Mesa Ishto Shel Boaz, the wife of Boaz passed away. One who's familiar with the book of Ruth knows that eventually Boaz took Ruth as a wife. So it just so happens that the day Ruth showed up on the scene, came to Eretz Israel, that very same day Boaz's previous wife died. V'hainu di Amri, and she, based on this, there has developed a saying, Ad delo shochiv shichva, kaima manu baise, that before one dies, his replacement, so to speak, appears. The Masar Sashas, in explaining the comment, manu baise, says, Hamizumenis lebeso, that one who is to replace, to be reserved for the particular household. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabba Baravuna, Omar Rav. This is a name, this word Ivitson, and he's found in the book of Judges, Shoftim, Perek Yudbeis, Psukim Ches through Tes. The personality known as Ivtson in the book of Judges, Ze Boaz. They're one and the same. My Komashmalon. Of what significance is this to us? So, its significance is by knowing the storyline in the book of Judges, one will appreciate that it's referring to Boaz. Ki Idoch. The Rabba Bar Avuna. The significance is based on another teaching of Rabba Bar Avuna, Diomar Rabo Baravuna Marav. Meo Vesrim Mishtois Osa Boyaz Labonov. Boaz had a rather large family, and he made 120 festive meals. These festive meals concern their respective weddings. When a child is wed, so as far as the Gemara is concerned, it was a two-stage process, not one known as Erusin, and the second stage known as Nisuin. At the Erusin stage, where the groom proposes to the bride by giving her money or the equivalent thereof, and he says, Hare at nekudeshesli, that's called the Erusin stage, and there's a Seuda that is experienced, a meal that is prepared around that event. And eventually, when he takes her in to be with him and they live together as man and wife, that's the Nisuin stage. There's also a festive meal accompanying that, which in effect is something that lasts 7 days. But as far as the Gemara here is concerned, we're viewing that Sudas Nisuin as a one-time affair. That being said, the Gemara tells us that Boaz made 120 meals. And how do we arrive at that number? We'll see that momentarily. Shnemar vayhi loy shloishim bonim u'shloishim bonois shalach ochutza. Ivtson, who we now know is Boaz, had 30 sons. He also had 30 daughters that he sent out. Means married them off to men. U'shloishim bonos hevi lebonov minachutz. And 30 girls, daughters-in-law, he brought in to his sons. Vayishpodes Yisrael sheva shonim. So we see that Ivtson, namely Boaz, had 60 children, 30 boys, 30 girls. U'b'chol achas v'achas osa shnei mishtos. And for each one, there were two meals. Echad beveis oviv, echad beveis chomiv. One referring to the Erusin stage, that's Beis Oviv, and the Nisuin stage, Beis Chomiv, Ubekulon lo zimein es monoyach. And in all of these meals, he did not invite Monoach. Monoach was the father of Shimshon Hagibor. Monoach was a fellow who, with his wife, experienced childlessness until eventually Shimshon was born. But as far as the Gemara here is concerned, we're going to be looking at Manoach in his childless state. Boaz did not invite Manoach to any of these festive meals. Omar, and his reasoning was as follows, Kudno akro b'mai parali. This, literally, this barren mule, a mule being a type of animal that doesn't reproduce, how will he pay me back? The Rashbam explains, B'mai parali, ein lo bonim shiazmin li lisudosan. This is something that the Mefarshim discuss at greater length. Here on our daf, we don't see much of a discussion. There is greater depth to this than that which appears, but that's not going to be the topic of our discussion. Nevertheless, the Gemara continues and says, "V'kulon mesu b'chayov." All of Boaz's children died in his lifetime. Vahainu di Amri Inshi, based on this, a common saying developed, or regarding this type of event, there is a saying, Bechayecha di Aldis Shisin, if in your lifetime you bore 60 children, Shisin Lomaloch, what good is the Shisin? Ichba va'olid chad, keep going. Bear another one, the Mishisin Zoriz, because that other one is going to be more diligent than all the 60. The Rabbeinu Gershom offers two explanations here. You'll find him under the Rashbam text. B'chayecha yaldas itzach, he adds the word itzach, meaning your wife, that if in your time your wife bears for you shisin, shisin lomalach, v'ichba v'olid chad detov mishisin zoriz. So, number one, keneged monoach, Omar. This statement is said in relationship to Boaz's children versus Manoach. Shehoyoloi Shimshon. Manoach had one child, Shimshon. Sheyatoiv mishishin bonim halolu. It was better than the 60 children that Boaz had. Lefi shehoya omer kach, Ifson ira lo kach. It seems because of Ifson's calculation of not sharing his festive meals with Manoach, that this befell him. However, I want to emphasize that this issue requires some greater investigation, because there are certain legal points that played a role over here in Boaz's calculations. In the bottom line, it doesn't seem that they were accurate, but nevertheless, it wasn't something of some type of personal nature. The Rabbeinu Gershom continues, V'is de meforshi lei, as another opinion, number two, keneged ivtson mamish, that the expression here of one had 60 kids, he should keep at it, have another one, is referring to Ivtson himself. Shohilo shishin bonim v'kulam esu b'chayav. Ivtson or Boaz had 60 kids who all died in his lifetime. V'achar kachoyo lo ben shiotza mimenu David melech Yisrael sheyatov mikulan. And he eventually had a son with Rus. And from that son eventually was born David, who served as the king of Israel, and from him come forth all the future kings. Turning back to the Gemara, Simon, once again, Gemara features a list of catchphrases, words or catchphrases, in anticipation of the Gemara that follows. And the Simon is, Melech Avram Eser Shonim Shiniftar Nisnase Levado. We now encounter another structural note, namely a double underline. And it's explained on the outside margin, under the Mivneh, the structural heading. The double line underline is Sidra Shel Memrois, a series of comments Shel Rav Chonon Bar Rava Marav. As you can see, the double underline serves the same role as the geometric forms to present a series of something that will repeat itself or otherwise needs to be connected one point with the next. In this case, you see the double underline, and as you scan down the page, you notice Rav Chonon bar Rava Marav is featured, and this continues to the top of the next omid as well. So the first comment of his, Omar Rav Chonon bar Rava Marav, Eli Melech v'Shalmon uploni Almoni v'Avi Naomi, these four gentlemen, who are people that appear in the Sefer Rus, and some are relatives of those, Kulon b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav Hain. They are all the sons of the famous personality Nachshon ben Aminadav. He was a personality that lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. According to some opinions, he is the one that jumped into the Yam Suf at the point at which point it's split. So we know from this comment that Elimelech had an illustrious father. Elimelech's sons, Mahlon and Kilian, had an illustrious grandfather. My komashmalon, shafilu mi shieshlo zchus avos, even if a person has the merit of his forebears, Eino omedes lo b'shah sheyotze me'oretz l'chutzal aretz. It's not going to stand in his good stead at a time that he leaves Eretz Yisrael. Might make an editorial note. and that we're learning together a Gemara that's known as Shas Bavli. This is a text that was compiled outside of Eretz Yisrael, and one would maybe think that there is a certain attempt to defend the glory of the diaspora as such, but one cannot help but notice the primacy that even this Talmud Bavli gives to Eretz Yisrael. I say this, of course, in contrast with the Talmud Yerushalmi, which of course was compiled primarily in Eretz Yisrael. But even this, the Talmud Bavli, gives primacy and significance to Eretz Yisrael. Not only here on Daf Tzadi Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra, but in many, many other locations throughout the Shas. The Omar Rav Chonon Bar Rovo Omar Rav. We now encounter a new geometric form as far as our sugya is concerned. They are triangles. The form is explained on the outside margin. You notice immediately to your left on the outside margin a triangle. Shmoseyan shel, imoseyan shel, etc. These are names of the mothers of a number of personalities. These are women, noshim shahaminim shalim ma tam ein onu yoidim shmoisam. The minim are a group of people that are, we'll call them skeptics, non-believers, questioners, etc. They come and approach the Torah with a great deal of skepticism and doubt. And amongst their numerous questions, they ask, why don't we know the names of these women? And here the Gemara reveals their names as a response to the minim. Along the way, the Rashbam offers comments that explain why these women specifically are featured. So the Gemara continues, V'yomar Rav Chonon bar Rav Amarav, Ime de Avram, the name of the mother of Avram Avinu was Amasloi bas Karnavoi. The Rashbam says, Ime de Avram, Lefish she'imoison shel Yitzchok v'yankav uzguru, we know the mother of Yitzchok, namely Sora Imenu. We know the mother of Yankiv, namely Rivka Imenu. Srifan Anu Leida Shem Aim Avram. We would like to know the name of his mother as well, him being the first of the three Ovois. Viagav Brora Nokad Ime Dehomon. We'll also see Homon's mother's name featured, Lefishish Mosean Shovin. In a moment you'll see in the Gemara that Avram's mother and Haman's mother had the same name. Different parent names, but their personal name was the same. So we saw that Avram's mother's name was Amasloi bas Karnavo. The word Karnavo has in it the word Kar. The word Kar, Chof Reish, refers to Tzon. Tzon, sheep, goats, and it will be noteworthy momentarily in the Gemara just to realize that Tzon is a kosher variety animal. The Gemara continues, Ime Dehaman, Amasloi bas Urvisi. His mother's name was that, Amasloi, similar to Avraham's mother. However, she was the daughter of Urvisi. You see in that word, Orev. Orev is an unkosher variety bird. The Simonech, in order to remember the distinction between these two ladies and their names, remember the following, Tomei, Tomei, Tohar, Tohar. Namely, Homan, who was a negative character, we can call him impure, Tomei, he came from someone whose name was Orev, impure. And as opposed to Avram, who was represented purity, his forebear was called Karnavo, his grandparent. Continuing in the list of mothers, Ime de David, Natsvas bas Adoyel, Shmo. Her name was Natsvas bas Adoyel. The Rashbam here it says, Imei Dedavid Lefi, Shekol Imois Shel Melochim Ksuvos V'Neviim, since the mothers of the kings, of all the kings, are mentioned in the book of prophets, Hutzrich Lefarish Gam Eim David. He was the first king. So we're interested in knowing his mother's name as well. David's father was Yishai. Ime de Shimshon, Slafoinis. That was his mother's name. Va'achte, his sister's name, Nashion. The Rashbam explains, Ime de Shimshon, Mishum de Airi bo kro tuva, since Shimshon's mother is the subject of a number of psukim, Uksiv nami la'oviv ule'imo lo higid, and it says in the storyline of Shimshon himself, it says he did not reveal things to his mother and father. Hutzrich lefarish, that's why it was necessary to explain or to mention her name. Shekolad varmo elu shaylin aminim matam ein onu yoidim shmoison. All of these are things that the skeptics like to ask. Why is it that we don't know their names? And so here the Chazal reveal it to us. The Gemara says this in so many words, Lamai nafka mina, for what bearing is there on us to know their names? L'tshuvas haminim, to serve as a response to the minim. And the Rashbam says on this, L'tshuvas haminim sheshon lanu yoser be'elu minoshim acheres, they like to focus on these women, k'depricious taimo, as we explained as we were going along. V'anu mishivin lahen shemostru lanu hanavim baal peh. And our response to the skeptics is that the prophets revealed these names through oral tradition. Of course, this is a comment that's addressed to the skeptics, they being a group of people that don't accept the whole body of literature that we call oral tradition. The point being that there are many things in the Torah that we know, and if you rely on the scriptures themselves, cannot possibly know without an accompanying oral tradition. That itself is a major topic worthy of many sessions in and of themselves. But suffice it to say that Jewish tradition is based primarily on the oral tradition that serves to explain the verses. As said moments before, the written tradition in and of itself has much, much to be explained. And without an accompanying Torah Shebaal Peh, they simply cannot be understood. The Gemara continues, the Omar Rav Chonon bar Rav Omar Rav, Eser Shonim Nechbash Avram Avinu, for 10 years Avram Avinu experienced incarceration. He was put in prison by Nimrod, one of the kings featured in Sefer Bereishis. The Rashbam gives a second opinion that his own father, Terach, incarcerated his son Avram because Avram used to destroy his idols. As far as the 10 years are concerned, the Gemara offers two opinions as to the breakdown of this. Sholosh Bekusa V'Sheva Bekardo. One opinion is that of the 10 years, 3 were spent in a place called Kusa, and 7 more years in Kardo. Rav Dimi Minardo Masni Ibcha. He teaches it switched around, namely 7 in Kusa and 3 in Kardo. Omar Rav Chisda Ibra Ziro de Kusa. This is a place name. The Gemara tells us that this place that was apparently known to Rav Chisda, Zeu Ur Kastim. This is the place that the Torah calls Ur Kastim. The Rashbam adds here, Ur Kastim was a place that Avram was thrown in there he was thrown into a furnace. And the practical bearing of this knowledge is that if one finds himself in Ibra Zira de Kusa, he'd be expected to make a brocha regarding the performance of miracles to our forefathers. This is mentioned in the Rashbam at the bottom line. Hence, it's a value of practical halachic value to know that this location, which was known to Rav Chisda, is in fact Ur Kazdim of the Torah. The Gemara continues. The day that Avram Avinu passed away, the leaders of the community, of the world community, stood in a row and they proclaimed, they eulogized and said, "Woe unto the world that lost its leader, and woe unto the boat that lost its captain." The reference here to Avram Avinu as a leader, in effect, one can see he was appreciated thusly even in his lifetime. In Parshas Chayei Sarah, when the sale of the Moras HaMachpelah came up, the B'nai Ches refer to him as Nasi Elokim Ata B'Sochenu, Nasi being a leader. The Gemara continues, quoting a pasuk with the anticipated comment of Rav Chanan on this. The pasuk begins with words that are not printed here, but it says, "Lecho Hashem hamamlocha, v'hamisnasei lecho l'roish." Omar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amarav. We learn from this, afilu reish gargusa, even the official, the minor public official who's in charge of water supplies, Mishmaya Mukmile. He achieves his position, his official position, by rule of heaven. The Rashbam, on the outside part of the page at the top, says, Reish Gargusa, Sar Hamamuna al Haboros, Mi Yidle, Mimenu Hayom, Lashko, Sudosu, Vamila Mochar. The one who's in charge of the boros, the water supplies, who determines the daily rationing, who gets how much, which day. Usrora Katanahi. It's a small position. It's not considered, it's not a major position. Umirichtiv, Lecho Hashem hamamlocha v'amisnasei, yolif la. The idea that this is from Shamayim, that it's heavenly ordained, who gets what position, this is learned from this pasuk. Klomar, al yodcha, through you, Hashem hamisnasei lakol, dovar, anyone who rises to any particular position, misnasei lechol davar, afilu legargusa, larosh, that's to be the head of something, who al picha. When one is involved with all types of political analysis, election results, etc., it does not hurt to bear this particular Maimar Chazal in mind. It serves to set a different perspective in the minds of the public. Omar Rav Chia bar Oven, Omar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Chas v'shalom. He is responding to the issue of the death of Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion. The way it had been presented till now was that they died because they left Eretz Israel, possibly looking for a better life, and that's why the Kodesh Baruch Hu ceased their continuation. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says that one should not look at them like that. Sha'afilu motzu subin lo yotzu. If they had found even poor quality grain material, if they had found subin, which is considered the poor quality grain, they would not have left Eretz Israel. In other words, they were not to be looked upon as people seeking the good life, per se. V'yelo mipnei ma'an enshu, shehoyo lahen levakesh rachamim aldorim v'lo bikshu. They were punished because as leaders of their generation, they were expected to pray for their welfare. It was a time of famine, as the psukim reveal, and they should have davened, they should have prayed for their welfare, and they didn't engage in that. This concept of leaders being expected to pray for the welfare of their people is found in Maseches Makis as well, where the Gemara discusses the issue of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg being set free from the Ir Miklat upon the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara deals with the issue of why is his freedom associated with the death of the Kohen Gadol. And in that sukya, the Gemara refers to this idea that the leader is expected to pray not only on his, for himself, but for the public as well. This is illustrated in the following. Posuk Shenemar, Bezakach Yatsiluch Kibutzayach. The Rashbam explains, Yatsiluch, Bezakach Yatsiluch Kibutzayach. You'll notice on the outside, margin toward the top of the beginning of the narrow lines. Ayadei Shetizak the Kabetz Anidochim, through your crying out for the ingathering of those castaways, Tinotzel, one will be saved. That's Yatsiluch in the Pasuk, you'll be saved. The Reino Gershom explains along the same lines. He says, Shenemar Bezakech Yatsiluch Kibutzayach, Klomar, Keshetizak Vitispaleo Al Kibutzayach, Hanikbotzim Imcho Bircho. When you daven and cry out for the welfare of those that are gathered amongst you in your town, Miyad ato nene, fetia ato nitzol imohem, shezchuson mesayoscho. The zchus, the merit of the public, serves to save he who is davening for them. So there's a dual relationship, that one who davens for others himself benefits by their merit. The Gemara elsewhere says that when one davens for someone else and he needs that same thing, hu nene tchila, the one who davens for someone else actually receives a response first. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabo Barachano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Shonu, the prohibition of leaving Eretz Yisrael, is taught only under the following. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is qualifying the Isur of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Lo Shonu Elo, Mo'ois Bezoil, Uperos Beyoker. Which, in other words, is the value, the cost of items is expensive. Possibly a situation of inflation. Avol mois beyoker. If you have a situation where there's no money, maybe a situation of rampant unemployment. Afilu amdu arba soyin besela. Even if things are very cheap, where four saw of grain could be purchased for one sela, but there's just no money. People don't have any money in their pockets. Yoitzin. A person would be allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Simon. Once again, a list of terms that serves to introduce the coming Gemara. Simon. Sela, Poel, Haruva, Talia, Amrin. Before we proceed in the Gemara, you notice already new geometric forms. Geometric forms in our marking system serve to illustrate, highlight a series of items that are usually associated with one another, or there's a need to connect them with one another. In this case, we take a look at our structural heading, the outside margin under the title Mivneh. You notice a diamond and a diagonal dashed line. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you find Rabbi Yochanan's name as you scan down the page in a diamond. Nehirna, Kad, etc. And the dashed underline features this expression, Nehirna, Kad, I remember when. And the when, etc., we'll see what those are. Sidra shel zichroinu shel Rabbi Yochanan, there is a series of memories of that Rabbi Yochanan shares with us. Continuing in the Gemara. The Omer of Yochanan. The comment here is a continuation of the idea of leaving Eretz Yisrael as a result of no money around. Rabbi Yochanan reflects upon a situation like that. The Omer of Yochanan, Nehirna kad havu kaimen arba sa'in besela. I remember a situation when produce was very cheap. Vahavu nefishi nefichi kafon betveria. And even so, there were a lot of starvation victims. Nefichi kafon, literally bloated as a result of kafon, of famine in Tveria. Midales iser, because there were no coins. Iser, a type of coinage. The Omer of Yochanan, Nahirna kad lohavu miskirin poalaya le midnach karta. I remember a situation when workers were not hired to work to the east of town. Mereach pita meisen. They died as a result of the delicious fragrance of the fresh bread. The Rashbam explains a little bit more. Mereach pita meisen, sheruach ma'arovis minasheves. The western wind blew. The wind coming out of the west blows toward the east. Umevia reach apas, and it would carry with it the scent of the fresh bread. Shehu toiv ma'oid lemizrach ha'ir. Umaisin meruach mitoch reach toiv meruba came near the enai. The amazingly delicious smell caused them to die. V'yesh meforesh mitoch tavas re'ovon. The second opinion is simply because of their state of famine, and upon encountering the wonderful smell, it caused them to expire. This concept, by the way, of effect of fragrance of food on people is a sugya in Maseches Yuma as well, dealing with the issue of pregnant women or people that feel a sense of faintness and their encounter with good smells. And the halacha has a number of allowances regarding that. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara continues, Nehirna kad avu botza yenuka charuva. I remember when a child would break a choruv fruit. Vahavu nogid chuta de duvsha al train dar ohi. Vahavu, reading and explaining the expression again, vahavu nogid, there would flow forth from this split choruv fruit, chuta de duvsha, a stream of honey, of sap, we'll say, coming from the choruv fruit. I'll train Daroi on his two arms. Daroi, from the word Zroa, the Dalet and the Zion interchange. And you have the word Zroa here. The Omar Reb Elozer, we've featured Reb Elozer in a broken diamond simply because it's not Reb Yochanan, but nevertheless the appearance of Reb Elozer is in a similar sense of sharing a memory. That's why we featured him in the series. The Omar Reb Elozer, Nahirna kad hava notil urva bisra. I remember when an orev bird would take a cut of meat, v'nogid chuto demashcha meresh shura v'ad la'ara, and a stream of fat, of oil, would flow forth, showing the richness of the meat from the top of the wall, resh shura, top of the wall, till the ground. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, nehirna kad havu matailin talya v'talyasa b'shuka. I remember a period during which youths would stroll with one another, girls and boys would stroll with one another, kvar shis esrei, kvar shev esrei, 16, 17 year olds in the heights of their youthful desires, the lohavu chatan, and there was no promiscuity. It was a maintenance of propriety and morality. So Rabbi Yochanan remembers when, in his own time, there apparently was a decline or a state of decadence that one surmises from the fact that he's remembering the what we call the good old days. The Omer of Yochanan, Nahir Nakad, Havu Amrin Bei Midrasha, I remember them saying in the Beis Medrash the following. We're going to first read the expression and then refer to the Rashbam for explanation. Demoidi lehoin nofol bidehoin. Demisrachetz alehon delay dilhon. We'll now look at the Rashbam. The upper part of the outside margin, of the outside column of the Rashbam commentary, Demoidi lehoin li'ovdei kechavim, one who is moide to them, misratze lahen b'mash omrim, those who accept the dictates of the idol worshippers, the foreign governments, if you will, nofil bidehon, will end up falling under their control. Elakol divrehen yistar, but everything that the idol worshippers say, you should counter. The next Rashbam, the Misrachitz Boteach, one who places his faith and security in them, Shal Yedei Shemizgala Lohen, that when one shows his sense of security and faith in them, the idol worshippers, then and reveals all of his holdings to them, Loichin Koma Shiyodin Mishelo, they end up taking everything that he has. Kirichtiv b'chizkiah, regarding the king Chizkiah, who after experiencing a nace, he was very happy to welcome the leaders of Bavel into his palace, into his inner chambers, and he showed everything he had, or showed off everything he had. And it says, the Rashbam quotes, Vayarim is kol beis nechoso. He showed them everything he had, and eventually he was plundered. Ksiv machlon v'kilyon, uksiv yoyosh v'sorof. Psukim in Sefer Rus name the sons of Elimelech, Machlon and Kilyon. And there are parallel psukim in the Book of Chronicles, Book of Divrei Hayomim, where the same parties are named Yoyosh v'Sorof. The heading we have on the outside margin, the Nosei, Droshos al Shmoisem Shemachlon v'Kilyon. The Gemara is going to engage in analysis of these names. Rav u'Shmuel, the Gemara continues, Chad Omar, you have Rav or Shmuel, one says, Machlon v'Kilyon Shmond, that their actual names were that. V'loma nikro shmon, why in Sefer Divrei Hayomim are they referred to as Yoyosh v'Sorof? Answer. Yoyosh shenisyashu min ha-ge'ula. The Rashbam explains, shenisyashu min ha-ge'ula shi'igolem ha-kodesh baruch hu min ha-rov. They gave up hope on the Kodesh Baruch Hu offering them personal salvation from the famine. Sorof, the Gemara continues, She nischaivu sreifo lamokom, that they were worthy of being burnt, of being subject to sreifo min hashamayim. V'chad omar, you have Rav and Shmuel, one of them said, Yoyosh v'sorof shmon, that their real names were that, V'loma nikro shmon machlon v'kilyon, so why are they referred to in the Book of Rus as this? Machlon she'osu gufon chulin. They she'osu gufon chulin. They made their bodies profane. How's that? By leaving Eretz Yisrael, Chutzlaretz is known as a land of, as an area of profanity. In the halachic literature, there's a concept known as Eretz Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, where midrabbanan, all lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are characterized as being tomei, like a beis hakvoros, like a cemetery. V'kilyon, shenischaivu kloya lamokom. They deserved to be destroyed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rashbam explains, because they left Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, Keman Diomar Machlon V'Kuyon Shmon. This Tanya. Gemara now presents a Tanaic source, and you can see it's a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it's in a frame. This source will back up the opinion that their real names were Machlon V'Kuyon. This you can see immediately by looking at the first of the widest lines. There's a dashed underline, and it says there that Elu Machlon V'Kuyon V'Loma Nikron Shmon Yoash V'Sarf. And there the Tanaic source asks, why were they called something else? But from the source you see that their actual names were Machlon V'Kuyon. The use of the dashed underline in Tanaic sources is often very helpful to find the specific reason that the Gemara brings in those sources. Sometimes the sources are very long and one needs only a few terms, few words, possibly one word from a large source. The source begins and it will be focusing on a pasuk and breaking down the pasuk in its different phrases, as you can see by the underlining that takes place as we go on. Mai dichtiv v'yokim v'anshe koziva v'yoyosh v'sorof asher balu l'mov v'yoshuvi lechem v'advarim atikim. This pasuk is taken from Sefer Divrei Hayomim, Sefer, the Book of Chronicles. And when one learns different Gemaras, one notices time and time again that the psukim there are somewhat obscure and they need interpretation more so than many other areas of the Tanakh. V'yokim, we underline this word, this comes from the pasuk. V'yokim ze Yehoshua, it's a reference to Yehoshua, shehekim shivua la'anshe givon, who engaged in an oath regarding the Givonim that came and they posed themselves as foreigners when in fact they were members of the seven nations that were to be destroyed, but of course they falsified their identity, and this took place in the time of Yehoshua, a story that is worthy of investigation on its own. V'anshe koziva elu anshe givoin shekozvu b'Yoshua. The Anshe Kuziva are those people that we just made reference to, the Givonim, that lied, they misrepresented themselves to Yoshua during the time of the conquest of the land of Canaan. They presented themselves as foreigners, hence trying to save themselves, and they in effect did save themselves from being killed. V'yoyosh v'sorof elu machlon v'kilyon. That was their actual name. The Loma Nikra Shmon Yoyosh V'Sorof. Why were they called that? Yoyosh Shenis Yashu Minagula Sorof Shenis Chayvu Strefo Lamokom. As we saw earlier in the Gemara. Asher Boalu Lamoyov. What does that mean? Shenosu Noshim Moavios. They took for themselves Moabite wives. V'Yoshuvi Lechem Zu Rus HaMoaviyah. This phrase is a reference to Rus. She came back to Eretz Israel and cleaved unto the family in Beis Lechem in the Yehuda region of Eretz Israel, namely to Boaz. Vadvorim atikim, dvorim halalu atik yomaya omron. These matters, the story concerning Rus, was told by the Kodesh Baruch Hu way before. The Rashbam explains the top of the inside column of commentary, Dvar Malalu, Shiyotsu, Machlon V'Kilyon L'chutz L'aretz, V'ayidei Kach Bo Rus, V'Niseis L'Boaz, V'Noldu Malchei Beis David. The whole story of Machlon V'Kilyon leaving Eretz Yisrael and eventually Rus coming to Eretz Yisrael and marrying Boaz, Atik Yomin Omra, Me'ito Yotsu Kvushim. This was a secret plan, so to speak, that came forth from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dichtiv. We see this concept referred to by a hint in the following psukim. Motsasi David Avdi. Emphasis on the expression Motsasi. Uksiv shtei benosecha hanim tsa ois. That's a reference to the the daughters of Lot, who were in effect the forebears of the Moabite people, from which came Rus, from whom came David. So you see the expression Motsasi David Abdi and the word Nimtsaos. So we see that the coming forth of David was already part of a plan that was found in Sefer Bereishis. Hemo hayoitzrin v'yoshvei nitoim ugedera im hamelech b'malachto yoshvu sham. This is a pasuk, likewise coming from Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Perek Dalet. This is pasuk Chav Gimel. The pasuk that opened this particular source was pasuk Chav Beis. So, continuing with the pasuk analysis, Hemo hayoitzrim. This expression is underlined. It's from this pasuk. Elu b'nei yoinodov ben rechev shenotzru shvuas avihem. These were the sons of Yoinodov that kept their father's oath. And their father's oath, the Rashbam tells us, shelo lishtos yayim v'lo livnois votim, kirechtiv, as it says in Sefer Yirmiyo. Yoshvei netoyim ze shloimoi shedoime l'netiyah b'malchusel. The expression netoyim refers to a sapling that eventually grows into a great tree. Shlomo Melech was that. He entered the monarchy and grew and grew. Ugedera zu Sanhedrin. So why is Sanhedrin referred to by this expression? The expression refers to a goder, a fence. Shegodru pirtoseyan shel Yisrael. The Sanhedrin, in enacting different rulings, they create a fence, a protection around Torah halachas, oftentimes referred to as a siog or gzeros, different types of rulings that impose certain stringencies that are of a rabbinic nature in order to protect the core Torah requirements. Im hamelech b'mlachto yoshvu sham, zu rus hamoaviyah, shiruasa b'malchus shlomo, ben Beno shel ben Beno. This part, this section, is a reference to Rus, who was zoiche to see Shlomo, who was a great great grandson. If you just follow the generations, the Shlomo was the ben Beno, was a grandson of ben Beno, of her grandson. Shenemar vayosem kisei le'em hamelech. That's a posuk, and it's the Omer of Elazar le'imo shel malchus. The Eim HaMelech was a reference to not his immediate mother, but to the mother of the monarchy, namely Rus, from whom came forth all of the kings. Tanu Rabbanan. At this point, the Gemara describes psukim dealing with agriculture and produce. And we notice the outside margin, there's a nosei, the topic heading, Hezber HaBrocha B'tvua. We're going to explain the blessing regarding grains. The pasuk says, V'achalte min ha'tvua yashan, the inyan ma ochlin, regarding the topic of that which we eat, b'shnas ha'shmita v'yacharov. The pasuk that we'll be dealing with is quoted in full, in the inside margin, Vayikra Chofei, Posuk Chofeis, Uzratem Es Hashona Hashminis, after the Shemitah year, you will plant during the eighth year, Ve'achaltem Min HaTvua Yashan, you will, in, what will people be eating during the eighth year, when they're only planting for the, at first then, they will eat from old grains, Ad Hashona Hatshiyis, Ad Boi Tvuasa Tochlu Yashan, until the ninth year, they'll in effect be eating grains that have been, that were produced in the sixth year. The Gemara explains, Tanu Rabbanan, V'achaltem min ha'tvua yashan, you'll be able to eat the old grains below salmanton. My below salmanton. There are two opinions. Rav Nachman Amar below ratzinta, that the old grains will be successfully stored without suffering from worms. Worms who, in effect, destroy the stored produce. Rav Sheshes Amar below Shadifa, without the grains suffering from heat. The Rashban explains that grains, stored grains that become hot, don't age. And what we're, our perception or our understanding of grains is that aged grains, as they dry out, they become more valuable and useful for flour production. But if they maintain their heat, this prevents their aging process from taking place. Tanyo Kavosei de Rav Sheshes, Tanyo Kavosei de Rav Nachman. We just had the two Amoraic opinions, and the Gemara says that there are two Tanaic sources, each Amora being supported by a particular source. Tanyo Kavosei de Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the opinion that said that they'll be zoicha to have their grains stored a long time and not suffer from worms. Ve'achaltem yoshan. Pasuk says they'll eat from old grains. Yochol Yehe Yisrael Mitzapin L'Chodesh Mene Yoshan Shekolot. Is one to think that the Jews will be looking forward to the new grains because of their old grains that got destroyed. The word Shekolot is a reference to the Ratzinta. We're not going to see the Ratzinta mentioned in the source itself, but that's the understanding that they destroy the grains. No, that's not the case. Talmud Lomar Ad Boi Tvu Asa. Ad shetavoy tvua me'alel. The pasuk is saying they'll be eating the old grains until the new grains come and develop on their own and reach ripeness on their own. In other words, everything happening gradually, and not a situation where the old has been destroyed and they're waiting eagerly for the new, but rather everything will take place gradually. Tanya Kavose Rav Sheshes, the shita that held shadifa, the source also will not feature the word shadifa beferush in it, but we'll see how to understand it. The pasuk once again says that they will eat from their old grains. Yochel Yehu Yisrael mitzapin l'chadosh mitnei yoshan she'ra. Is one to think that they're going to be looking forward to the new grains because the old grains went bad. This idea of them going bad is a function of their not aging properly, not drying out properly. And that's what we called before Shadifa. Talmud Lomar, so the source says that that's not the case. Rather, Ad Bo Tvuasa, Ad Shetovo Tvua Me'ileha. They're going to be able to enjoy the old grains and keep on enjoying it until the new grains that were planted during the eighth year finally become ripe. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues with another source. Ve'achatem yoshan noshan. The Rashbam explains here. Ve'achatem yoshan melamed shekol hamiyushan v'chol demashma hayoshan yochlu v'yanichu hechodosh lehisyashen. That they'll be consuming the old and leaving the new grains to age. The source continues. Ve'achatem yoshan noshan melamed shikol hamiyushan mechavero have yofa mechavero. That which is older, that's aged, the more something is aged, the better it is. V'ein li elo dvorim shedarkon liyashnon. This pasuk is a bracha in Sefer Vayikra Perek Chavav, where they have the brachas and eventually the klolas. The bracha is that you'll be able to benefit and enjoy your products as they age. So one might think that this is referring to things that it's customary to age. For example, grains and wine. Everyone's familiar with old wine being more desirable. Devorim shein darkon liyashnon minayin. How do you know that even things that are customarily not aged, different kinds of fruits that generally speaking, if the longer you leave them, they rot. But nevertheless, if we keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, we'll be zeicha to a bracha, that even stuff that has a short shelf life will experience aging in a positive sense. Talmud Lomar, Yoshan Noshan, Mikomakom. Unqualified aging. In other words, not just the standard produce that's aged, but even the unusual will be able to age and you'll enjoy it. V'yoshan mitnei chodesh totziu. That's from the pasuk. Melamed shehoyu oitzros malein yoshan, that their storage facilities were filled with old produce, ugronois malayin chadash, and the granaries which had the recent harvest are filled with the new stuff. For Yisrael Oimrin, and because of the plenty that they had, they said, Heich notzi zeh mitnei zeh. The Rashbam explains, Heich notzi, the hochi mashma, v'yoshon mitnei chodosh totziu, bal korchachem, that you're going to have to get rid of the old stuff by force. Shelo yeh lochem mokoim latzniyah chodosh. You won't have any room to store the new stuff. Even though the old stuff is better, is more desirable, yotziyuhu, they're going to have to take out and discard the aged material, to make room for the new. The new produce has a longer shelf life now because by virtue of the fact it's only recently been harvested, and hence they have to make room for it. But the Pasuk is describing a situation will be done with great pain because of the great quantity. You see, they'll be saying it's a great shame that we have to get rid of the old stuff that we still have plenty of. Omra Papa, komili atika, malya, all aged produce is good. Labar, with the following exceptions, mitamri, vishikhra, vaharsana, with the exception of dates, shikhra, beer, and harsana, it's a type of small fish, that these things aged don't necessarily improve with time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.